calling to order the July 19th, 2018 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. It is 7:02 p.m. Calling the roll, Commissioner. There he is. Commissioner Pritz?
Yeah.
Commissioner Graham White?
Here.
Chairman Franek?
Here.
Commissioner Prestes?
Here.
Commissioner Popowitz?
Yep.
Commissioner Raina Watkins?
Just here.
We do have a quorum. Public testimony.
So Tom Chudak, 754 William. Just a couple quick updates and a question for the group as well. So, as you know, I've been working on plaques for the William Street homes. My house is now plaqued. Five more are on order as of this week. Three more are in research. So that's the number of people we have. So that's, nine altogether that have agreed to go ahead and put plaques on their homes. So that's good news. We're also looking for other ways to recognize the block. And as you know, we are working on a lamppost idea, which we've sort of given up because of the logistics and maintenance and things like that. We're also considering, you know, can we landscape the triangles at each end of the block? But again, we have an issue of who's going to maintain them and things like that. So I guess the question I have is, are the lampposts in the village available to mount metal historic placards?
Yeah, so to give everybody a little bit of history there, you know, the lamppost idea was one that, you know, resident Mark Witt was carrying. We went through a couple of different ideas with that. The village on that side of it needed to tie that structure, which, you know, became quite expensive in the end with some of the logistics there, to somebody that was going to be responsible for it in the public right-of-way. One of the other ideas that kind of came out of that was, if the village was going to be looked to be on the hook for that down the road, maybe we look to do something else, you know, that was recognized that, there's some placards on stands or some different type of landscaping there, similar to what the village maintains at the Waller Gates, you know, or something like that to commemorate that. So just off of the top of my head, I know that at least on one side of the block, there's the metal street sign for, you know, the historic designation of that street. But in general, I would say yes. Obviously, there's other considerations with traffic signs and visibility and things like that when we start putting things on post. But, you know, those are small hurdles to overcome. And in general, I would say yes.
Okay. So would those plaques be purchased and owned by the village, or could they be purchased and owned by the residents and mounted on the village property? Do you know how that works?
You know, I would say there's probably something there that has to get cleared through legal, but I think we could make that work if the residents purchased it and the village maintained it in the long run, or, you know, there was, you know, some funds raised by the residents for the initial purchase, or the residents could come to the village board and ask that the village make that purchase. That's always an option, okay, too.
So, again, we're looking for something that doesn't require maintenance,
mm-hmm,
you know, sort of exists already.
Yeah.
In front of my garage, there's this big, I measured it, it's 24 by 30 inch sign that says no driving in parking lane. It doesn't really work, but it's a nice sign. And I looked, and there's at least three or four of the concrete lampposts down the block.
Mm-hmm.
So it could even be a series of signs that told a story, you know, as you go down the block, something like that we were thinking of. And I'm thinking a metal sign would be less expensive than some other fixture, you know, granite block or any landscaping or things like that. So I just wanted to get an idea as to what the hurdles would be.
Yeah.
We also talked about doing a brick pavers in a crosswalk between in the paving itself at one point, and having that spelled with about bricks out on a block of William or something that signifies it in the historic block. And that's something the city could at least, village could at least claim. That's putting pavers on the street as part of it. We have paved streets all over the place.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, that'd be another thing that would have to be proposed to the village board, to ask that the village agree to pay, you know, to be responsible for that financially down the road. I know when the first thing, and I'm referring to the lamppost, came to the village board with that proposal, one of the village board's requests was that it be tied to a property, very similar to how we do. I'm trying to think of a good example. Like sometimes people's property line doesn't ride right up to the sidewalk, but they want to build their fence there. And they come to the village board and they say, I'm going to build this fence 6 inches off my property line because that's kind of what makes sense here. And the village board says, okay, you can build it on village property as long as you agree to be financially responsible for it.
Sure,
same thing when you put like a sprinkler system in the right of way. It's the exact same thing. That's what was happening with that light pole. Obviously, this would be the same thing. It'd be a private infrastructure going in the public right of way, which in its own right would require the village board to approve that, and then some agreement would have to be reached between, you know, the residents of the block and the village board on who's going to be financially responsible for it down the road.
Or I suppose there's the simplest option, though perhaps a non, you know, who knows what the village wants to do, but of the village just doing it, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Like just full period, full stop.
And that'd be the same thing. And, you know, that could be the HPC pitching that to the village board. It could be the residents of the block pitching that to the village board. And
both.
Together, sure, yeah.
But just to be clear, we're talking about some kind of like sign. I mean, like we would see no parking sign, except instead of being on a separate pole, it would be on a lamppost, right? I mean, so we're talking about something that is, you know, whatever. We're not talking about like the street sign.
Yeah.
We're talking
this
about
would be
something
that
tells a story, right?
Have a lengthy description or something on it.
Yeah, yeah. So people walking down the street would have something that they could see. Right. Would it be oriented so that walkers see it? Is that kind of the idea? I mean, is that what the effect you're looking for? Like people walking on the block get this story?
Well, since the lampposts are right off the street, I'm guessing it's not going to be facing the sidewalk. So it's probably just going to be, I would guess people would see it driving down, and if they were interested enough, they'd get out of their car and look at them.
If it was at the street light that was at the corner, would that make more sense? Because then
there
people
are, yeah.
walking could,
right.
That really fits in with what we're doing with the map, right? People walking and getting a sense of the village. And, you know, again, this is private, so whatever you decide is good, but it might get more use, if that's the right word.
Well,
right?
The ones that have the street signs are also would be candidates for the sign, I would think.
Yeah.
There's one on each end. There are also several in the middle of the block as well.
Nice if walkers could be exposed to it.
Well, you could do some sort of sign I was trying to think of how to put this into words, but that's perpendicular to both the street and the sidewalk, so that and it would, you know, sit between the sidewalk and in the street. And so the people, whether they're driving or, and it could say the same thing on both sides, so that people walking down the sidewalk or driving down the street would sort of see this sign. It would have to be built on some sort of infrastructure, not like floating in thin air and not on some schlocky looking, you know, 2-inch piece of PVC sticking out of the ground. But you could imagine some kind of nice sign, maybe with a little brick foundation and some fancy looking metal or something. I'm sure it would cost more than a couple $100, but that would look nice. And
those little banners like that, just on the
face
of the street.
Yeah.
Well, let's turn that around.
But again, we're trying to get out of the issue of who maintains it, who repairs it,
so
things like that.
From the village's perspective, I can say the concern with the lamppost was the fact that it was a physical structure that requires some type of sort of substantial foundation, because it was a brick structure using a brick from one of these homes. So it was a little I never realized before I started processing insurance claims for the village how many lampposts get hit by motorists. it's an unfortunate amount, and accidents happen, and that's you know, as soon as you put something nice and new there, it's going to get hit. And as soon as you do something
because they're reading it.
And as soon as you do something there, that's where the water main is going to break and things like that. And that was the concern from the village's standpoint on that, was being responsible for the replacement of it, especially when it was more substantial construction and more costly. something like this that I think carries a lower cost could be removed and preserved, you know, pretty easily if there needed to be construction there or something like that, I think is all, you know, it's an easier ask of the village, I think.
Right, and I'm assuming they'll have to be maintained, but if we have to purchase them, these can't be that expensive, and perhaps two sets were made so that over the years as they faded or got dented, you know, there'd be a spare. But it seemed to me, again, I'm looking for something that doesn't require anyone to own it, maintain it. It exists today, sort of the least resistance. So, all right, thank you.
Great idea.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Tom.
Jan Sager, 435 William. First, the map is very exciting, and so I'm happy that it's probably going to go to press pretty soon. The what we were talking about before the meeting, the paintings of six historic buildings in River Forest along the railroad track walls. Jonathan was thinking that whomever did it should take credit. Is the village going to pursue that? Or I can call Lita Forsyth at Little Bits and ask her.
Either way, I mean it sounded like Commissioner Prestis Ryan. Maybe is familiar with the artist, and so...
I can quickly get to the bottom of this via text message.
Okay, so, let me know... you know, who to credit for that, and we'll get it. I'll take some pictures. We'll get it posted on online.
Great. Right.
No great. Then Historical Society plaque. The one for Harlem School is now mounted to the left of the door, and that's the D90 administration building. So if you get a chance, look at it. It's beautiful, and it tells a lot of history in a very small space. And then the plaque for the pumping station is in process, so the application has been sent to the Historical Society. And then talking to the owner of 706 Keystone, the E.E. Roberts House, she sounds very agreeable to obtaining a plaque. She's just trying to decide where to put it because she's got kind of a setback, so would it be better by the door or maybe under the urn on one of those? She's got those big urn pillars. I don't know if any of you want to weigh in and maybe help with what you think, but if she gets a plaque, I think that really is going to be a real feather in our hats.
Do we have a sense as to whether owners of significant properties can get, you know, what the process is to get a plaque in terms of, is there a standard format, set company, set price, et cetera, et cetera?
There
so
is.
So these are kind of uniform?
There is. There's. It's all on the Historical Society website. There's an application, the color choice. There are three styles. One is the wall mount. One is a fence mount, like you see at Augusta and Lathrop. And then there's a lollipop, they call it, and it's stick style. And I actually saw one. It's at the corner of, in Oak Park, at the corner of Superior and Euclid. And you don't see it very well. It's in the ground, and it's by a rock, and you have to look through the fence. So, but, you know, that could work. But anyway, those three styles and the specific pricing with the delivery charge or mailing charge.
Okay.
So, yeah, and where to mail it. And then I worked with Frank and Rachel about the process because there's a lot. Tom Fierzichudik is laughing. Yeah, you send the application. Then they do their, perform their due diligence at the Historical Society. Then they come back to you with maybe a mock-up, and they send you a bill, or at some point you get a bill. But then you have to approve the mock-up or note changes. And then when there is the final approval, then it goes to their printer, and this is their person whom they work with.
Okay.
Now it's and it's endorsed by the Historical Society, meaning they do prove up the information that you sent.
Mm-hmm.
Could there be something from the Preservation Commission so that each individual person on the significant property list doesn't have to go through this? Could it be kind of like, because they are on the significant property list, they've already been sort of pre-approved by the village? I mean, I don't know. It just seems a big process for everybody to go through.
Well,
so I don't, which may be a reason why people don't, because I looked at it and I thought, yeah, forget it.
Oh, the application, I can fill it out for you. And then take it from there. I mean, yes, we do have the information. I think part of it is a lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah.
Or they think it's tied to the ordinance. And I say, no, this has nothing. We have nothing in our ordinance. This is honorific only. So, and then somebody I was talking to last Friday said, well, she wouldn't put anything on her house. She doesn't. So there are people who don't even want to put stuff on their homes other than the house number.
But could an informational thing go out to all the people on the significant list saying, you know, if you're interested in this, contact Jen?
They could. I could be the liaison. And the other thing is, you have to remember that Historical Society staff is really Frank Lipa.
Right.
And then maybe with the help of Marianne, the secretary, or somebody else. And they're all volunteers. And so it's... Tom is just itching.
Sounds like maybe something that'd be good to put a small blurb together for the news or website, Facebook stuff.
It strikes me that one of the reasons why the Historical Society may want to just sort of vet the information themselves is the same thing that we had in terms of when people wanted to make changes to what we put out with the Architectural and Historically Significant Property Survey. People had some anecdotal evidence, but it wasn't necessarily provable. So they just want to act as a gatekeeper for that information. But yeah, it's there should be a more user-friendly and less onerous way to do it.
I just want to say that there's actually two things that the Historical Society has to approve. Number one, they have to approve that the house is noteworthy enough to have a plaque, which I believe, you know, saying with all those significant homes in River Forest automatically qualify, I think would be a good thing to try to ask them. And then secondly, the information on the plaque, which is the architect, the date it was built, the original owners, that's really where the time comes in researching it. I mean, I myself have gone to the Cook County Recorder of Deeds and pulled out the books and researched, you know, every owner from Henry Hogan's to the first owner to, you know, to get that information for the homes on William Street, because that is what takes the most of the time. And typically, the Historical Society will do it. I offered to help only because it was taking so long, I was losing patience. But yeah, so there are two approval steps. And I think getting the Historical Society to agree that all of the significant homes in River Forest automatically qualify would be a great first step.
Mm-hmm. I'll reach out to Frank on that specifically. Yeah, please.
So the plaque itself, the one that the Historical Society endorses, is an oval. And that's the one that we see all over town. All over town, we have six or seven. Except for the 700 block, which Tom worked on, and it's a square. And the primary piece of information is the house number. And there were certain reasons to do it that way rather than the primary piece of information being the date built. So in talking to Frank, I said, I really feel that unique, exclusive design of the square stays with the 700 block, and that anybody else in River Forest gets the oval, because the 700 block needs as much help as it can possibly get. And Frank agreed. So anybody asking, say, oh, well, I'd like the square one, and we're just going to say, no, that's really exclusive.
Well, it's meant to be, my conversation with Frank, to identify a collection of homes.
Yeah.
So the reason why the number's prominent, because they're all built the same year, it made no sense.
but the Gunderson District or any of those areas that they wanted to plaque and as a collection probably would use a similar design to William Street would use.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know that, and that Frank and I talked about that too. What do we have? And maybe the three kit houses on Monroe at the end of the 700 block, and they were in the house walk 2 years ago. Now those might be a mini collection that would, but you know, we were saying, what do we really have except maybe the Burma builds? So, but he was, you know, he was talking about that too, collection. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other comments from the public? Approval of minutes. Any comments regarding the minutes for May 24th?
None here.
Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Any comments regarding the truncated minutes for June 28th?
No.
What's there to say? Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's approved. Map brochure. As a follow-up to some of the things we were talking about earlier, I talked to a couple of realtors about this, and they're just absolutely thrilled from a marketing standpoint.
Good.
That's great. Historic homes, both in terms of this and also later on when we talk about at the request of a couple of homeowners of both significant properties and those that have received preservation awards at the Village keep an on website list of those properties. It's purely voluntary. It's something that the Village I presented to the Village Board of Trustees on June 11th, I believe. They were very enthusiastic about it. In fact, there was a question as to whether that information, as well as this map, could be automatically mailed to everyone in the village. I mean, it was really quite heartening. So my general sense is we're on the right track in that regard. And also, again, talking to realtors, they said, yeah, you know, something that sets it apart. excuse me, a significant property is something that would certainly help the marketing efforts and something they could, I think, I'd call attention to. excuse me, in their presentations. So, that's good. Do we have any comments about the most recent draft?
I do. I noticed that, perhaps intentionally or perhaps not, some of the little numbered squares depicting the houses are not where the houses are. They're, like, for example, on the wrong side of the street. So say take Keystone, for example. House number 15, the John A. Klassert house, is on the other side of the street. 16, the church, is actually on the corner, kind of just south of where 15 is in this picture here. Or if you go over to Elmwood, let's see, number 4, the Badenow house, is actually on the west side of the street, not the east side of the street.
Good
right?
Catches.
Unless I'm just screwing the head, but I think catches. I'm right about that. I might be wrong about that one, but I'm 100% right about the Klassert house on Keystone because it's out my window. So we might want to do one last check just to make
Absolutely.
Sure we've located, because you know that that's killer.
Yeah.
You're, you know, you're sitting there trying to walk and you're like, where's the damn house? And then you know obviously you can turn around and
but
I assume we were trying to have them on the right side of the street, blah blah blah, and at least the church, which is number 16, is shown where there's actually a parking lot, and number 15 needs to be moved across the street, and I haven't checked all of them, but I bet several of us could do it by memory, if not.
It's also pretty easy in terms of east side of the street is odd, west side is even.
But there's also little, like I said, like the church, for example, not a big deal. But, it, you know, if you want to try to get it just right, it's actually on that southeast corner, not the southwest corner, as David surely knows from living on that block.
Second.
everyone. It's a good point. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, one other question. From my own house, we listed as 1909. I don't know the best way to pin that down. I have seen resources that have different dates. It is in our collective interest, I suppose, to not perpetuate a incorrect date. I don't know if it's 1908, 9, or 10.
Sorry. That's a good point, 'cause I know at least one other of those dates came up. At least one of those dates came up when we were doing research. I suppose all of these would have came from whoever wrote that that piece. Was it not you? Did you not write
it? I did write it.
Okay. But either way, it's a fair point.
It comes up. People ask me not infrequently, you know, just in random when was your house built?
And you're like, yeah.
I just pick one of those numbers and
say it confidently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have books.
Right.
That list it as 08 and 09.
Mm-hmm. So I can tell you, if you go to the Cook County Recorder of Deeds with your tax ID number, they'll have a whole history on who bought the property, who built it, when, you know, and when the deed was turned over to whom or whoever. Unfortunately, it's all written longhand. Sometimes it can be hard to read. What I learned about William Street is that I guess about half of the homes on William Street were built as spec homes with no buyers, and they had renters for many years. So it's not easy to figure out, but the information's out there. And when the deed was cut, when the second deed on the house was built, all those kind of things.
Yeah, well, so I'm okay if we just want to go with 1909, but if someone has an easy way to pin down the right number, God bless you.
Do you know who the first owner of the home was, Brian?
I'm going with John Broughton, but...
Okay.
But
the reason I ask is the Historical Society has information that's segregated by block. And if you looked up in the Dictionary of Chicago Biography, Mr. Broughton or Broughton, they would, depending upon when that was published, that would indicate what his address was. Additionally, you can also triangulate it through city directory as well. Because I know some of the information, I know the information on our home is city directory shows the original occupant there 4 years before it's shown in the significant property survey. So, I think it's not uncommon.
Yeah, an occupant may not be the owner.
Yeah. Yeah.
09.
Per our survey.
Stick with 09.
I will definitely check the locations of the homes. That much I can handle.
You're also welcome to go to the Cook County Recorder of Deeds, should you so choose.
Your copious free time.
But I will confess that I have not, my commitment to the historic preservation does not go that far. Even when it comes to my own home.
Well, the one thing I'll say too, though, is, I mean, based on your reasonable research, if we're off 8-10, I don't think I wouldn't count it as perpetuating, you know some drastic misinformation either. At least not for this purpose. And we've, not that it makes it right, but we've put it in print a few times before. So
perfect.
There's that too. Couple other things I'll say too, just so that everybody knows, since this is the first time that we've looked at it as a group since it went to the village board. There was one homeowner that asked not to be included. That home's been removed. So there's 32 instead of 33, you might notice.
Can we ask which?
It's discernible, so you might as well just tell us.
Yeah, it was in the 900 block of Park. I can't remember exactly. 931 maybe Park.
Oh, that's the Spencer house.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Good. Now I'm the only Spencer house. No, yeah. Oh, no, there's still the other Keystone one.
Yeah, so... That homeowner wasn't at all interested in being part of this activity. So, like I said, so be it. The other thing too, the board had the suggestion of including the historic district outlay on the map, which we've done there, just in a slightly different color. But I actually think it's a good addition to it because not only does it provide that context for people that might want to walk and see more, but it also shows that by chance, I think mostly, we've done a good job at getting a good every nook and cranny of the historic district. It's a good collection and spread. So I think that's a good addition. I think that's really the only two changes, the substantive ones from our visit with the village board. I will say that the support could not have been greater for the project across the board. So
having the colors and the numbers on the pictures and the short descriptions, is that new? Is that in the old? Is that in the previous version too?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Oh, like the one is Frank Lloyd Wright, and it's in red. When you look at the description in the upper left hand corner, I mean, I know we had the colors on the map before, and we had the legend, but I don't remember that. And that seems like if that's an ad, or if I'm noticing it for the first time. That's really nice.
I think that does what I was
hoping, which is I want to see the Frank Lloyd Wright homes at a glance. You can see them at a glance. I mean, it's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbering works out nicely.
Good. When will we be able to send this to the printer? Is this something where we need to review anything yet again?
I don't think so. I'd love to
get it out there.
So would I.
Once people are back from the summer, there's something they can do on a nice fall afternoon.
Get a full size proof before we from the printer, and then give the okay after that.
Yeah, I would imagine we could. And to be honest, I don't work with printers all that often, but I would imagine we could. Our graphic designer.
Ask her designer if she can arrange that.
Yeah. Sure. Other than the locations of the boxes, is there anything else you guys think is pertinent to review? Obviously, we've looked at these descriptions and the like for the last few years to review them. But I can certainly do that. We'll see what they say, but I would assume that'd be cool. I'm just trying to think too, Dave. Then I don't know if we want to do that at a meeting, or I can print it and try to circle it around a little bit, or
whatever is the easiest to
make it work somehow.
If you have it here, email everybody. We'll come and look at it.
That's true. So go ahead.
I just had one other layout question for consideration. Is I don't know if it's the back page or the bottom. It says Village of River Forest Historic Preservation Commission. I was just, maybe ask our designer or whatever, but why there's not a hard return after forest. So it says Village of River Forest Historic Preservation Commission. It may be that it looks schlocky because the margins are then too wide on Historic Preservation Commission, but it certainly is more a more natural line break than, do you follow me?
No problem.
If they say, employing their typographical judgment, then it looks crappy, then so be it. But I would at least wonder why we wouldn't have Village of River Forest, and then on the next line, Historic Preservation Commission.
That's what they do on the other side of the fold, where the orange is, right, where it says Historic Homes.
Yeah, that's a good point. On the front panel, it's got that makes sense.
Sorry, leave it to me to just continue to introduce random.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
I'll stop now.
I think I'm with everybody. That I'm really excited to see this come full circle, and we can start working on the next map after we get this one printed.
The revision.
Yeah.
Thanks for all your efforts, John.
No, yes. Not a problem.
It's yeoman work.
It's
really you've been really dogged.
No problem at all. Here's a question I'll throw out there. I don't know cost wise. I did it one time. We costed out printing. Does anybody have an inkling or a gut about how many we should run?
Ooh. Where are they going to be?
It's a good question. The village board.
Up a little table up there.
Absolutely, for sure.
What is the visitor center? I think we need to know the price curve. I mean, if this is like custom stationery, where the first 25 are 50, and then the next 25 or another one, right? It makes sense to order large quantities because it's such a. But if it's linear, it doesn't. And we can sort of do another batch any time for the same price. Well, then we should just do, a relatively small number, because why not?
Yeah, and obviously I know, like with most printing, most of the cost is or a substantial part of the cost will be in the setup, if you will. So there's that part of it too. But let me look into it. I'll see. How many and where we're gonna make them available. One of the trustees, suggested we look into see the cost of sending one to every home in the village. We can see. Once I have something to print, I'll find out what that costs. I don't know. I'm sure it'd be expensive, but,
I would think.
Library. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I would think at a minimum we'd want it in Village Hall, at the library, and to realtors' offices.
Yeah, I think the Oak Park Visitor Center.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
But why not also the historic?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
That'd be good. Yeah.
That's
good.
Mm-hmm. We have it right at Harlem on the border to attract people over to River Forest from Oak Park.
How about at the Oak Park Home and Studio? They've got a bookstore there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering about that. I mean, anything that it induces people to come over to the village, right? And what I'm trying to think is, how can you tie this in, or can you tie this into, like, when you have the home walk? Right, because that would be a nice time for people to have, to see the houses off the walk and to understand that the village extends beyond that. But I don't quite know how that would be. You have an interested audience there, right? Well, because they're on the walk.
Once I have copies of them, anybody could take, 50 of them. You find out what homeowners are on the walk, and you ask, if you can leave
them at the house. Yeah,
leave 50 or 100 of them, there or something like that.
Yeah, if we wanted to be proactive in pushing it out beyond sort of an initial static distribution, one easy thing to do, I think consistent with what Michael's saying, is identify the coordinator for each of the walks in the village. There's a half dozen of them. It seems like I hear about one. And identify who those people are that's knowable, and contact them and say, hey, do you want to hand this out to the people who are participating in your event? With the little folder that they get or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'll take that action to look into that.
More the better.
Yeah.
There's a brochure stand.
Wider dissemination.
All that stuff just drops in.
Yeah.
Additional ways to protect significant properties. We're going to do the list on the village website. And we're kind of working through those specifics now. Let me get a better sense of that. I'll have something to present in front of the commission.
Yeah, the interest so far has come from those two homes on those corners on Keystone.
Mm-hmm.
344.
Yeah.
And the Burns is on one.
Yeah.
We were going to have a conversation with some realtors. I think you were going to do it just because we had this whole conversation about, is there a way to educate, right?
Yeah.
Kind of along this idea of the more people know about what the historic properties are, the more protection it affords them, right?
Yeah. I've been remiss. I've raised it a couple times offhand with a couple people, and between the two of us, we had like 9 kids and it didn't gel. I will make a note to myself and go back at that, because it's easy to do and I just haven't gotten it done.
I have a question to ask, because we're going to the realtors to educate them. But I think it's even more important to educate the owners of the properties, because the owner of the property has the right to tell the realtor they are hiring, who has a fiduciary duty to the owner, what they want, which means you put in the advertising that this is a significant property. You don't put a sign on my property that says, build your own mansion. You don't advertise, tear this house down. And I think that is something that can be included in the contract, also to disclose to the buyer that this is a significant property, and whatever information that the owner wants to disclose is up to the owner. It's not up to the realtor.
I've talked to a couple of realtors about how they market significant properties, and they've indicated to me, one, great enthusiasm for the concept of a list online, as well as this. Currently, the only map that exists is just basically a green amorphous street map that's got a designation of the historic district, and that's it. It really doesn't say a whole heck of a lot other than the location of various streets in the village. And what I've been told is they typically will, in fact, note on various kinds of social media that it is, in fact, a significant property. They'll indicate that in their listing. And it's something they do indeed push, so that to the extent that we can generate any additional sources of lists or whatever, there's great enthusiasm for the concept. And this is, I think, a good way of, you know, spurring on to homeowners at a bare minimum. I think this ought to go to every owner of a significant property.
Mm-hmm.
So because, yeah.
But it is the owner who can tell.
Oh, absolutely.
The realtor.
Sure.
I want this disclosed, because a lot of them, as
yeah.
Mr. Burns says, is not interested in that. So that the owner can go out and say, "This is how I want my home mm-hmm. marketed. Take it or leave it." I mean, you as an owner are paying the realtor.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But, but are you saying that? Because that was one of the questions from the last discussion: whether the realtors would consider it a positive that it was a historic
home. Doesn't matter.
I know, but I get your point, and I know this is a separate point. But are you saying that they were enthusiastic?
Yes.
Then?
Yeah.
If they know they've got a historic property, that would be, they think, helpful in their marketing of the house.
It would be helpful. They view it as a positive, specifically given the fact that the subset of agents who market most of the historic properties in either River Forest and or Oak Park is actually fairly small. That there are few significant properties marketed by what I would refer to as outliers, you know, one here, one there kind of stuff. It tends to be, you know, six or eight folks that have 80 to 90% of the significant property
really?
Listings. Yeah,
why
absolutely.
Why do they happen that way? I mean,
because they specialize in it, and it's known, and people who have these properties know that they've got contacts and connections.
To some degree, there's some correlation with home price, and you have some of the same people getting some of the best listings due to seniority, the agency, skill, whatever, right? But I think that's also part of it.
So this raises an interesting question about the map, which is we're going to have on the website the significant properties that are for sale.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm a realtor, where do I go to, is there an easy way for me to know, to query, you know, use the internet to query if a house is significant?
On our website.
Yeah.
But I know you can pull the study up.
Well, no, you can just Google River Forest significant properties, and it's like the first or second hit, there's just a one-page list of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
I
list of all.
So just a list of by,
yeah.
by block.
So do we want to include that link? On the historic map.
So what's on the map right now is the link.
What's on the map right now is the link to vrf.us/historic-preservation, which is the whole page, which includes, you know, that amongst other things. I guess if that's the interest, is to get people directly to just the list.
I missed the link. Where is that?
It's the back panel. It says, for additional information, please see our website and comprehensive architectural survey at vrf.us/historic-preservation.
I think that's enough to get people in the right direction. I think it's fun.
Yeah. You know, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to agree, because it does say the survey, right? So it does does seem to point it
well,
pretty well.
Yeah, and
if
you go to that link, and then you start reading the page, the third hyperlink on the page
is the link
significant properties.
Okay.
And then you can read a little bit about those, and then there's the only link on that page is significant properties list, and then boom, you're looking at it, and it's four pages, and it just lists the properties.
Yeah, and
we've talked about before that maybe that web page could use some work, but yeah, that's probably a little, that's probably separate.
Any other thoughts as to protection of significant properties? Now, I know that Al circulated a suggestion to Kathy Aducey, and she forwarded it on to me. You want to talk about your crossword thing? No, I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a
fun thing.
Okay. With a lot of help from Jonathan, we finally got all four programs on YouTube. So so they're there. All you have to do is go to River Forest Historic Homes 1, and they'll bring that up, and there's four of them. Thanks to a lot of help from Jonathan, I think it's a pretty good product we've put out there. And now the point is, how do we get the word out? I did put in a squib in the Wednesday Journal, but of course a lot of people don't get the Wednesday Journal. I'm really not sure quite how to enlarge that audience, but in an effort to draw people to YouTube sites, I thought that perhaps what we could do is put together, or I could put together, four crossword puzzles. The answer to the crossword puzzles would be Oak Park, River Forest, historic architects who worked in the village during the early part of the 1900s, first owners, buildings and some homes and some common architectural terms. The hint would be that a lot of the answers were within these four programs. So if people are interested, and that's another question, if they're interested enough, they could go to those four programs and they could find some of the answers to solve the crossword puzzle. The first question is, I don't know the format. There must be online a program where they would just present me with a crossword puzzle. I just plug in words, and it would put them
correct
in space.
Like if you type crossword puzzle maker into Google, the very first hit crossword puzzle.
I start looking into those, and some of those require a lot of information, and I wasn't sure how much information I wanted to give them, personal information.
My 7-year-olds just made some crossword puzzles earlier this week on a site where you just list the word. I don't know. They're 7, and they did it.
Yeah.
They opened their first credit card.
I'm sorry,
in Sri Lanka.
Okay, so
it can be done pretty easily, I think.
Okay, so
if you don't
one,
care about your future, financial.
Yeah. When I substitute taught River Forest, the kids were bringing in a program with music and sound, and you know they made it look very easy. I couldn't do it though. Thank God Jonathan helped me. Okay, so the point is, number one, I don't know if Wednesday Journal would be interested. But I have to give them something hard to say, are you interested in publishing something like this? And if the answer is yes, the next question is, are there enough people in our two communities who would be interested enough to try and work on the puzzle? I don't know that either. But I'm willing to try, and let's just see what happens. So the first thing I need is I need a program which I can put in words. I've got the words already. I've got them listed and so on. I did all that preliminary work. Now I just need a format. And then I'll approach Wednesday Journal. They've been very generous to me in the past about publishing stuff, so I would approach them and see if they'd be interested. If they are, then let's try it and see what happens. But the whole idea of it is to say, what's this? Go online, and that's where you'll find some of the answers. So it's just an attempt to get more people, to get a greater audience. That's all I know.
Out of the box is always a good thing. The other avenue might be the Village Newsletter. Is a way of adding the crossword once it's finally put together to that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And you get free garbage pickup for the year.
For the winner of the crossword puzzle.
As long as it doesn't say drink more Ovaltine.
I'm sorry.
The decoder ring, yes.
So I can borrow your 7-year-old, maybe he could.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brian just sent me a link. I'll circulate that, or I'll send it to you, Al. The The other thing, too, is that the village president asked me to actually just this afternoon to look into a couple other options. I think I'll try to price out, you know, maybe it's an ad or something like that that draws a little more attention. Some options like that, but I think they'll come together nicely as, you know, we have Al's four YouTube videos that are, you know, have a lot of information in them and all of those. We have some promotional type stuff that that John Griffin, who's a resident but also a videographer, has worked on to kind of, you know, highlight 142 Keystone and 558 Franklin. Have we talked about that project here?
Yes.
Okay. As long as I was getting confused looks, I wasn't sure. So those things, you know, between those videos and Al's videos and the brochure, there's a lot of promotional material at our disposal. Please.
Do we have, it occurs to me, like everything you just mentioned, the Al's videos, crossword puzzles, the map, Lord knows what else, would be easy topics for Facebook posts by the HPC. Like, one, do we have a Facebook page? I don't think so. And two, like, are we allowed to? And three, assuming the answer to one is no, two is yes, should we have one? Like, I'm on the board of a shoestring nonprofit. We have a Facebook page, and we use it all the time, and we reach, like, tons of people super fast and easy. We use it to get the word out about summer camps. We use it to raise money. We use it for all kinds of, and it's so easy to do. I mean, I could, if I had access to a, and was an authorized poster for the HPC Facebook page, I could share in, like, 15 seconds as I sit here, Al's video, and be like, you know, Al posted this and here's the link on YouTube, and have a little picture, and it would be so easy.
Yeah, totally. And we have shared the videos and on Facebook. The first two are actually...
The village has a Facebook page?
Yeah, the village's page. We've shared them there, which does have a decent reach.
Yeah, so maybe that's the way to do it. Maybe it's not an HPC.
The other thing I'd say, too, and obviously the HPC pursuing its own page is kind of a different discussion. We could go down that avenue, too. The one thing I'd say, too, is that all of you guys, or, you know, at least those of you that are active on Facebook, you know, I look at Facebook analytics a lot. Sharing goes a long way, you know. So you guys taking those posts about that video and sharing it, you know, I think is a good help. But yeah, you know, I will for sure make sure that we get posts out about 3 and 4. We've done 1 and 2, and
this is a really interesting question, I think, that Brian's bringing up, because for example, if the idea here is we want to get this information out of when a historic property comes up for sale, obviously listing it on the website is a good idea, but posting it to a Facebook page, and if the realtors think it's a good idea, then they're a natural audience to be reading this, and then that gives us all kinds of ways to reach them. So is there a hate to say it, I feel like Brian, which is, that wouldn't that be an interesting thing to include on somewhere on the map, not to make a last minute change, but you know, where people could go get information and therefore that might extend our reach, as opposed to the generic page is all I'm saying, because there might be, it might get a different reach. People who pick this up and go on the house tour might be very interested in knowing. You know, we could post all kinds of interesting stuff there. Featured houses, when we do the awards, we could, you know, I mean, there could be all kinds of stuff that could go on that page. That's a really great idea.
Well, and, you know, I agree with everything you just said. And the reason I'm suggesting we consider, and maybe there's like village policy that precludes this, so be it. But, you know, the village Facebook page is pretty bogged down in lots of other stuff, justifiably so, because the village isn't only about historic preservation. And so I just went through like the last 20 posts, and I think less, one or none, were about, you know, anything that we do or really focus on.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point.
And that's probably entirely justified because the village's broad focus, which includes crime alerts, refuse pickup, 4th of July, whatever. But we wouldn't want, and it wouldn't be appropriate probably for the village to be posting you know, boom, ba boom, ba boom, as many, you know, we have enough content here for easily a post a week.
Mm-hmm. More than that, right? Especially if we are in a campaign, right? I mean, you know, the map is ready. You know, this historic house is being featured.
And I have plaques. Yeah, sure. There's organizations.
You know, William
like
Street.
My feelings won't be hurt if people don't think at the end of the day it's not a good idea. But to me, it's
it's a great idea.
It costs zero. And it might be a nice way. It's an easy way. I know from experience, it's an easy way to disseminate information to a lot of people, and perhaps the cost, if it was all not true, would be still like nothing, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would the interest extend in a complete strategy like Twitter, right? I mean, because yes to Facebook, right? Because you have to, right? And everybody is on it. But what about tweeting?
It would.
What
I mean,
about our Twitter stream?
It would. I mean, there would be. That's for every rationale I just articulated would apply to Twitter too. So it's really only a question of what our bandwidth is and how much time people have to get stuff set up and work on. You know, because it takes some time.
Yeah.
More naturally fits Instagram probably, but.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right.
There's probably some demographic gaps there that might not make sense either, We can do whatever. You know, Brian, to your point, I've never considered it, so let me think about that for a second. Like I said, you know, there's a good discussion in what we do for a living on whether or not police departments should have their own Facebook pages and it should be separate from the village. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of literature written on that and a lot of studies that go into it.
Yeah.
On one side, it's the fact of what you're saying that. One page gets bogged down with just too much, and it's hard to go from crime alert this to historic home that, and that's a tough departure to make. The other argument that I think does sort of apply here is that there's something substantial about going to one place for everything, and that there's that too, so that in a situation, a crime situation in particular, there's not a confusion about where you're getting your information. Obviously, this does and doesn't apply in a couple of ways to that discussion. But let me think about it and ask, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, 'cause, I mean, I totally get if there are sort of systematic, larger, big picture reasons why it's not.
I've just not thought about it.
So just to be clear, the question is: you're going to go off and think about the question of whether it's reasonable. You know, or the pluses and minuses, the pros and cons of a commission having its own social media strategy. I mean, let's leave it like that, because then it opens it up to us figuring out, you know. And I think we want to make a decision quickly because, you know, I understand we have a new commissioner coming on the board and we could just fob it off on him while he's not here to maintain and put it all in place.
And I focus on Facebook just because it seems that it hits our demographic. It's maybe an easy starting point. It's something I'm very comfortable with, and so I'd be happy to sort of do some legwork. But there's no necessary magic to Facebook.
I think you're absolutely right. And obviously, I do a lot with the Facebook page here. I think in an hour, you could probably schedule out posts for the next few months and let it do its thing. So there might be some worthwhile in that. I'd certainly agree. Yeah, and to your point, Michael, I don't know if the village would have any objection to that, but let me think about it.
Any other thoughts?
Well, just to tie this off in a bow, because now I'm not joking, which is, before we print this, do we want to maybe have an answer to this? Because that would be a very natural thing to include on the map. I mean, you have to go off and get the information about the pricing anyway. So,
I'd be inclined to just move it forward, only because we can get the information about the Facebook page out via Facebook pretty easily.
And the other thing I'd say, too, is that this directs you to our website, the village's website, which could redirect to this Facebook page, and to our Facebook page, which could redirect to that. It's probably not the cleanest thing, but I think we could make that accomplishment. And to Brian's point, I think it's almost a separate channel that you kind of, you know, explore your way through that.
Well, this map might go to a lot of people who aren't looking at our page, right? That's the only thing. Right, I mean, we could always do a sticker later, right? It's easy enough to do. They're cheap to print. You just could, you know, see, that's our Facebook.
Well, and depending on how many we have to print.
Yeah. I agree with all that.
Yeah, how long before you make a reprint or whatever it is.
But we're going to get the pricing before we...
I'll get pricing, and I'll, like I said, once I try to finalize this and I can get the setup done and get, you know, some type of a proof, we'll be in, we'll have a little more information.
Okay. Other business.
Scheduling a meeting. So, I guess naturally, if you will, the next meeting would be August the 23rd. I've heard from a few people that August is a difficult month, so I figured if we could have a meeting of the minds of what's good and bad, or if we'd rather, I can, you know, do an email poll as well. I don't know what's best for people.
That's usually good. Then we get a variety of dates and can kind of look.
The other thing, too, that I just wanted to mention is, you know, and I know summertime is sometimes a different thing. There's nothing, and, you know, we've done this from time to time, think about if a different day of the week works better for people, we have some flexibility there. I don't know if Thursdays are generally bad for some people, and, you know, for the most part, I shouldn't say always, but for the most part, Mondays can be difficult because that's the village board's night. But Tuesdays and Wednesdays are available as well, if that makes sense for people.
Just to let you know, I disappear because we're taking this driving trip to drop my son off in Seattle for college, and I disappear the last full 2 weeks of August. So I'm just gone.
And I disappear the first, the second, and third week of August. From the 6th to the 18th, I will not be around.
And I'm out the middle.
Well, there goes August. Yeah. Well, we could. I mean, John, do you want to just send out a poll and people? We may. It may be the art of try to just get a quorum.
Maybe we will end up doing this. Maybe you send out something people can indicate when they're not available, and you can see if there's a matrix of a quorum.
Either way.
People would be available.
Either way.
Do we ever use the whatever it's called just to
doodle?
Yeah.
We can. I usually, if it's
so easy,
is everybody familiar with Doodle? I usually just have people respond, and that's what I'm doing on the back end. It's the exact same thing. But yeah, Doodle polls, it's a link with multiple dates, and you click yes or no for each date, and it auto populates a matrix of availability.
Do we usually do the
if anybody has trouble,
third,
I'll send
do
out
we
a
usually
Doodle
do
poll
the
if
third
trouble,
Thursday?
No. We usually do the fourth Thursday.
The fourth Thursday.
This month it's the third. That's what works best for everybody. That's what I'm saying. On Thursday works for us here, but
well, is there any reason not to? When we could just do the fourth Thursday,
we could.
Well, Al and I won't be there.
Oh, both of you.
Oh, you'll be here for fourth. I'm sorry.
I'm not trying to be insensitive to anyone's schedule, but we've just heard that basically all of August is out. If we want everyone,
fourth Thursday, I'm available. I don't know who else.
Let's try that. The other thing too is, you know, if need be. You know, we could probably get through this, like Dave was talking about, some other way and get it printed if we needed to push a meeting off. So we can see what we can do. So I will work on that and be out of that. Any other business from anybody else?
Yeah. Other than that, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, guys.
Safe travels, everyone.
Thank you,